This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. An unfinished pine wall, a quiet staircase, a recessed cabinet full of worn china, an empty porch looks out into the wilderness. These are among the images in Tad Pfeffer's book, The Hand of the Small Town Builder, Summer Houses in Northern New England, 1876 to 1930. In it, Pfeffer tours the one-time vacation villages in Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine, photographing historic homes carefully constructed by small crews of local builders. His solitary photographs and carefully researched narrative tell a story of summer life in New England at the turn of the century and what these homes reveal about attitudes toward family, domesticity, and leisure at the time. Tad Pfeffer is a photographer and teacher and a geophysicist based at the University of Colorado at Boulder. Tad Pfeffer, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So, as a glaciologist and a geophysicist over there at the University of Colorado, what sparked your interest in the summer homes of northern New England?
There's not really an obvious connection, is there? The connection is because I come from New England. And as a child, I lived in Randolph, New Hampshire, and I'm very familiar with these houses. And from a very early age, as I describe in the book, I've always had a very strong awareness of the effect that houses and the built environment in general have on us as people. And in Randolph, early on in my childhood, my parents would rent a different house every summer. And so I was exposed to several different houses. And it also gave me a way to date my memories because later my parents could tell me, oh, yeah, that house, we were there in, 1957 or something like that. So I could always tell where exactly and when exactly my memories come from. But these houses have really stuck with me for all my life.
So you saw a variety of them. The real explosion, however, in construction in this area was in the late 19th century in northern New England. Why then and why northern New England?
Well, of course, the development of vacation houses occurred somewhat earlier in the South, but not too much earlier. And that was because what we think of as the summer vacation or vacation period really didn't exist prior to mid-late 19th century. Prior to factory jobs and office jobs, it really wasn't possible for one person to leave their work for any period of time, be replaced by somebody else, and then they could take off and do something, unless they were very rich and didn't need to work. And the houses that I describe in this book are very much houses that belonged to people who were not rich. These weren't the same people that were building the so-called cottages in, say, Newport, Rhode Island, or Bar Harbor in Maine. This was done on a much more modest scale. And they tended to be initially a lot of clergy and academics because those were the people that had long summer vacations. Mm-hmm. And one exception to that, I guess, is along the Maine coast where it was actually possible for businessmen in Augusta, say, to have a house out on the coast. And the businessman's family could go out to the coast for the summer, and he could join them on weekends. At that time, there was very comprehensive and regular steamer service up and down the rivers and along the coast. So it was possible for somebody who had an office in Augusta to leave Friday afternoon, get on a boat, and end up out at Booth Bay Harbor, for example, Friday night.
You photograph these houses without people in them, but there is a sense of lived lives. There are scuffs on the floors or little markings or the wearing of many hands on a doorway.
Yeah.
So we do get a sense of the lives lived there. But tell us more about what these houses reveal about the people who lived in them and built them back then.
I think the main thing that it reveals is what people felt they needed at that time. What they had the means to surround themselves with. The houses are very small, of course, and part of that is economy, no question. But also part of it is people simply didn't have as much paraphernalia to tote around with them as we do today.
And you found that often building these structures were local three-men crews in many cases. Now, how did such small crews manage to build such beautiful homes? I mean, they are smaller cottages than Southwest Harbor or Bar Harbor and Newport, but some of them are quite large and with a lot of interesting architectural detail.
The basic three-man crew at that time consisted of the lead contractor or carpenter making all the decisions and measuring and cutting. Measuring for cutting, and then the second person in that crew would actually be doing the cutting, and then the third person in the crew would be installing the pieces as they were produced. That's what's really remarkable about these houses for me, is that they were, for the most part, designed by the contractor, by the carpenter, this lead person that was making the decisions about, which piece to cut and where to put it. They were pretty much universally not trained as architects. They typically didn't have anything beyond a high school education. And of course, that was, fairly normal for that time. College education was not the norm in the late 19th, early 20th century, certainly not in rural parts of New England. And what's really remarkable to me about these people is that for their very limited exposure to the outside world, most of them didn't travel very much, but they were very widely read, and they had a great curiosity about design. They recognized the importance of design, and their clients recognized the importance of design.
We're talking about the summer houses that were built in northern New England between 1876 and 1930. Tad Pfeffer is with us. He's a geophysicist, a teacher, and photographer. He is the author of The Hand of the Small Town Builder, Summer Houses in Northern New England from 1876 to 1930, which is, as you can probably hear, chock full of history that you may not know about some of these summer houses and beautiful, beautiful photographs. Well, talk to us a little bit about John Boothman. It's not easy to find records of all of these small town builders, but John Boothman, who was operating in Randolph, New Hampshire, where you often summered, you learned a lot about him. Tell us a little bit about where he got his ideas and how he expressed them.
John Boothman and his wife were very organized people. They kept careful records, and they hung on to everything. They were pack rats, which I am as well. I use that in a very positive sense of really hanging on to history. So in a few cases, I have not only the photographs of the house, but I have the list of everything that was spent in the construction of the house, how much was spent on labor versus materials, for example, how long it took, and how far the builder's responsibilities went. And this is another very common feature that I'd see throughout New England, is that the builder also very commonly acted as the real estate agent. They would broker the sale of land to build the house on, and they would, in many cases, furnish the house, either buying the furniture and putting it in, or in several cases, they would build the furniture along with the rest of the house. And then in Boothman's case, I can see records of him turning on the water and putting some provisions in the refrigerator just before the summer occupants arrived.
And the houses that he built are just beautiful. And they may have been considered simple then, but summer estates now in New Hampshire, especially if you have a lot of land, have huge tax bills that go along with them. The cost to maintain, can people who were middle class afford these homes anymore?
I think that they can in principle. I think perhaps the larger question is whether they have the time to really take advantage of the second house in anything like the way that people did 100 years ago. When I was a child, we would go up there and spend, 2 months in Randolph. For the most part, that doesn't happen anymore. I mean, even in Randolph, people don't come up there for 2 months anymore unless they're retired. So this uninsulated, really summer-only house, which is occupied for an extended period in the summer, and then the rest of the year, it's just, carefully bundled up, buried in snow, waiting for the next summer to arrive, that's probably gone.
Tad Pfeffer, ending on a kind of bittersweet note, but a beautiful book, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
W. Tad Pfeffer is a geophysicist, a glaciologist, and photographer. He's also a civil engineer at the University of Colorado at Boulder. His new book is called The Hand of the Small Town Builder, Summer Houses in Northern New England from 1876 to 1930. And you can see pictures of some of these spectacular houses that Tad Pfeffer photographed at wordofmouthradio.org.